Well, good morning. You can see the kids are already off. That's wonderful. You're free to go off to Children's Church. Thanks for gathering with us here today. Thanks for joining us online. We're just glad you're all with us this morning. It's hard to believe as you think back, you think about a lot of things as you're putting a message together and as you're serving the Lord each day. And it's been a whole year in full-time ministry already. And time went so fast. It was just amazing how quick that went. Seeing God moving in my life, in my kids' life, in your guys' life, it's been a blessing. It's not all been easy. There's been some real struggles and some real challenges. I won't mention your names, but just seeing if you're listening. But in all seriousness, it's been a wonderful time. The enemy hates what we're doing here at Motley Free Methodist. He hates it. But God is on the move, and he's been on the move for a while. So it's just been a privilege to be up here and serve right alongside you guys. There's been all kinds of firsts. I had my first funeral service, first wedding service, first time I served communion. Just a lot of firsts took place, a lot of mistakes, and plenty of room to improve. And I just thank God for his faithfulness through the first year up to this point. I just want to give him some glory going into this new year. Power of God has been at work in Motley for many years, long before I was around, and I thank him for that. And I just, in 2024, I just want to lean even more heavily on his spirit to move among us. So that's my prayer. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. That's what we want to do going forward. For today, we're going to back up a little bit. I'm going to try to slow down, if you can believe that. I'm going to try to slow down. I'm going to try to allow God's word to guide and direct us. I want us to have our ears open and our hearts softened to what he has for us today and allow the Spirit to touch our souls, just like Jess just prayed. I hope that is the case today. Back in November, I planned on spending some time. I told you, I warned you in the book of Ephesians. And well, here we are the last week of January, and that's where we're heading. We're heading to the book of Ephesians. You can see the title in the bulletin. Us Who Believe Should Be Familiar. This Supernatural Lens, Part 2. We're going to continue on with that. Today, we're going to be in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. So we're going to back up quite a ways. I think we need to. I kind of got ahead of myself. So we're going to back up, slow down, and allow God's word to move here today. But first, I want to start off with a quote. A quote from John Wesley. It's a little lengthy quote, and it's got a punch to it. So just be aware. But I think it sets the stage. It's based off Ephesians 5:14. So if you want to go back and look that up, you're welcome to. I didn't put it on the screen, but this quote is based off that. And it's called Awake Sleeper. It'll make perfect sense when you read it in Ephesians 5:14. It says this, discover yourself. If you are one of the poor self-deceivers, awake. Is your confidence a self-confidence that you are or that you have the witness in yourself that you are a child of God and thus defying all your enemies? Alas, you are weighed in the balance and found lacking. The word of the Lord has tried your soul and proved it to be reprobate silver. You are not lonely of heart. Therefore, you have not received the Spirit of Jesus. You are not gentle and meek, even tempered. Therefore, your joy is worth nothing. It is not a joy in the Lord. You do not keep his commandments. Therefore, you do not love him, nor are you partakers in the Holy Spirit. It is as certain and as evident as the word of God can make it. His spirit does not bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Cry unto him that the scales may fall off your eyes, that you may know him yourself as he knows you. A poor, undeserving, hell-bound sinner. Pray that you may receive the sentence of death within yourself until you hear the voice that raises the dead, saying, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Your faith has made you whole, and his spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are his child. It's got a punch to it, but it's so spot on. And I just want that to kind of resonate in our hearts as we go through the book of Ephesians, that just stands out to us. The joy that we have, is it the joy in the Lord? Or is it a temporal joy? Do we keep his commands? Do we love to serve him? Do we follow his decrees and what he says? Does the Holy Spirit work in and through our lives each and every day? Are we indeed a child of God? Us who believe, the saints, united together in one body, serving Christ. The scales would fall off our eyes and we would see ourselves through this supernatural lens. Not only ourselves, but the world that we live in. We'd recognize it. We see the statistics. We know that there's churches full of people that are self-deceived. That's up to God to make that decision, but we know the statistics. Are we even open to the possibility that that could be us here? Are we open to that possibility? And we'll allow Ephesians to talk to us, to speak to us, that we would discover ourselves personally. Are we indeed a child of God? Are we the saints? So let's get started. Let's dive into Ephesians. Ephesians 1, we're going to read Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, and I'll explain why in a minute, but we'll start with that. Should be up on the big screen. I'm in the New King James Version, and we'll start off in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the holy places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through the blood, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first trusts in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now I said we were going to go through verses 3 through 6, but I had to read all that. There's a reason. In the Greek, verses 3 through 14 is one sentence. It's one sentence all the way through. So we have to read that in full to kind of get the context of where we're going. So that's why we started there and read it all, and we'll unpack that as we continue on. But the Apostle Paul is reminding the saints of this glorious blessing that we've received through Christ and how believers should respond to that gift, to that blessing. So I have 3 points I want to make today. God and how he is blessed, how and why he chose us, or the doctrine of election, and what should be our response and why. So them are the 3 things, and that's a lot. I had even more. I cut some out because this is plenty. So we'll start in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an interesting place to start. If you look at that statement, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should cause us to ask a question. How is the creator of the universe blessed? It seems like we need to answer that question before we can go any farther. This section speaks of blessing us with every spiritual blessing. And next week, we're going to dive into that. We're going to unpack every spiritual blessing next week. That's where we're heading. But how is God blessed? And it's simply by this, turning our blessing, the grace he poured out upon us, our gift of salvation, turning all that back to praise and worship to him for his glory, blesses him. Isn't that amazing? We're going to just keep unpacking that. We are here to bless him by giving him all the glory in everything that we do. And that turns in around and blesses him back. It says here in Isaiah 43:7, Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. That's why we exist, friends, for his glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And then again in Romans 11:36, kind of along the same line. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We are created to glorify God. That's why we're here. God is to be honored because of everything he is, he has done, he is doing, and he will continue to do. He gets all the glory. And it says if we do that, it'll return bless him. Bless our heavenly Father. Problem. We don't believe that. We don't believe it. No, especially the world, the natural man, he most definitely doesn't believe that. He believes he deserves the blessing. And oftentimes we feel the same. We deserve that blessing. But that's not true. We don't deserve it. We're going to unpack that in depth next week. But that statement should actually shock us. It really should. That God would actually want to bless us, that should be a shock. And if that doesn't shock us, I would go back to my quote. Awake, don't be deceived. If you recognize that we deserve God's wrath, that's what we deserve. We are by nature cursed. We are sons and daughters of Adam, correct? That's what we are by nature. So the idea that God would bless us should shake us. This is a big deal, a real big deal. We have to recognize that God, even though that is true, he's also made a way for us. This amazing grace we've been singing about, this is what it's talking about. Let's keep going. Oh, I remember I was going to slow down. So through all of this, we are to give glory to God because it blesses him. That's the idea. So it seems like an impossibility to bless God, but that's what it says, and I think that's wonderful. I say that's good news. So how and why did God plan all this to happen? That's our next question. So this is the doctrine of election. And I could spend probably weeks, maybe even months on the doctrine of election. Right, Jim? I could spend that much time on it. It's a deep subject. I don't think it's necessary to go that deep into it, so we're not going to. This is kind of at its entry level. But our election is in him or in Christ. People stumble over this term, but I don't think we have to. I think we can look at it at its most basic level, and it'll make sense, and it's in context in the scripture. God has this overarching, incomprehensible purpose of redemption, okay? That's part of the election plan, to bring a lost and dying world back to himself before the foundation was set into motion, okay? This was his plan. This was his desire from the beginning, actually before the beginning. This was all him. This was predetermined that this would happen. So the creation story, the fall and spiraling out of control, Noah and the flood, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the kings, the prophets, the prophecies, the exiles, all of this part of his big overarching, incomprehensible purpose back to redemption of a lost and dying world. This is election, all pointing to the story ultimately to Jesus Christ to become as Christmas, eventually coming into the Lenten season, the resurrection, and then the coming back. All part of this big plan. It says in verse 4, he has chosen us in him. So that's Jesus. He chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. This was predetermined. This was pre-planned. Okay? I don't believe this is talking about eternal destination, but rather before creating the world, God decided all who would freely believe would be chosen and they would be holy and blameless in his sight. So if you come to this amazing grace, this promise applies to you that you will be holy and blameless in his sight. You were chosen for that reason. If you were chosen, this will happen. So if you come to this grace, he pours out his grace upon you, you freely come to that, this will happen. That's part of the election. It goes on. Paul uses even stronger language in verse 5, that we would be predestined, that the believer would be to be adopted as sons and daughters through Christ in accordance with all of his good pleasure and his sovereign will. This was God's plan from the beginning, that we would be adopted as sons and daughters. So then what do we do with that? Well, we give him all the glory. And then what happens? He gets blessed. You see how this works? It goes right in order. This is his big plan. When I was just putting this all together, I just thought, man, this is something to get excited about. We'll keep on going. Verse 11 and 12, it uses the same language, just to kind of to add on to that predestined idea. It says, also predestined again, predestined not to destiny, but that we might be to the praise of his glory. There it is again. If this all comes into effect, we accept his amazing grace. We come into the fold. We are the saints. We are us who believe. We will turn back and give him all the praise, which is glorifying God, which now he's blessed. It all fits. It goes right in order. It just flows so well. In 13, it says that they came to this point after the fact when they heard the word of truth, then believed. There again, that's why I don't think this is some predetermined thing as far as who gets in and who doesn't. I don't see it that way. But here's the thing. However you come to this point, however you arrive here, whatever your past is or your doctrine, whatever that is, I think that's okay. You work that out. That's okay. As for the foundation of the entire opening section of Ephesians, our salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is not some big cosmic accident, but the centrality of the gospel and God's plan in all history to bring a lost and dying world back to himself through his blood at the cross, no compromise. That is what it is. That is the only truth. There is no other way. So the first part, the election side, there could be some varying ideas there, but this is central and this doesn't change. We come to Jesus through his shed blood at the cross, period. Okay? Be clear on that. And here's the thing, friends. To the world, this is foolishness. This truly is. This is that supernatural lens that we're talking about and would continue to reveal as we go through Ephesians. This whole idea of God's election and God's predestination is rooted all in God's love. It's all of his love. This is not some predestination to heaven or hell. This is not for some certain group of people to come, but to all that who would trust and believe would be adopted into sonship by the works of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what it's saying. Okay? For what? Why? What's the point in all this? Well, just like the scripture says, all to God's good pleasure and his will, back to our beginning, that we would give him glory and he would be blessed. It just keeps on flowing right through this narrative. That's why this is all one big continual sentence. And we go through all the way through 14, we'll see that. It pleases the Father for us to be adopted into his family. This is a legal declaration. Okay, us who believe are adopted into his family. That's a wonderful thing. As S.M. Lockridge, he quoted, or I'm going to quote him. He said, if God is your father, and I know he's mine, that makes us brothers and sisters. Right? We come together in a body, all with Jesus as the head, us as the body, all to glorify God through all of that. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So take notice of that. It's up there on the screen. Notice that his, he, and beloved are all capitalized. Okay? We got to notice that. His, that's God the Father. He, that's God the Father. And the beloved is the intimate name God uses to refer to his son, Jesus. So if you read that verse, it says, to the praise of God's grace by which he made, God made, for us accepted in Christ. That's what that verse is saying, right? Awesome. It's the same, that word beloved is the same word that's used in Matthew 3:17. This is how God refers to Jesus. This is an intimate way that he talks to his son. So don't miss this, friends. If you hear nothing else today, hear this part. God is so pleased with his son Jesus and the redemption work on the cross that we can gain access to the Father by his grace, and that he should receive all the praise and all the glory through that. That's awesome. That's awesome news, right? Let that sink in. Before the foundation of the world was created, before all of that, he chose Jesus to suffer and die on the cross. For us that who would believe and receive God's gift of grace and his mercy, we would be predestined into his family, into sons and daughters alongside Jesus in the family to receive every spiritual blessing, which we're going to unpack next week because that's awesome. We're going to talk about that. And then all of this to praise and glory of God so he's blessed. That is good news, friends. That is really good news. So what should be our response and why? That leads us to the next point. I prayed about this a lot. I really did. Back in November, I seemed to have caused a little bit of tension. Here's the thing. Tension can be good. It really can. Nobody goes to the gym and goes to work out and has tension to get weaker. Right? Tension can be a good thing. It can grow us. It can strengthen us. It can bring us closer together. Tension can be a good thing. It can also be bad, but I'm going to look at it on the good side. So tension can be good. It can mature us. I truly believe that. And this supernatural lens has a way to maybe bring a little tension into things. I think that's okay. I made the comment that it's okay to make a little noise on a Sunday morning. I made that comment. I did. Some people didn't care for that comment. I think I need to explain just a little bit. And this is the why. It goes right along with this. We are here to glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. That's what we're here to do. Not only in this building, but as we go out from here. That's what we're supposed to do. Us who are in Christ, we are supposed to go find the ones that aren't and tell them about this amazing news. Right? Okay, we should be a little bit excited about this. So I made this comment, and I hear there's a big football game or something coming up. I've really got out of the football scene, but there's a game coming up, and if your team scores a touchdown and you celebrate, no problem. You have complete freedom in that. You land that big walleye this spring, celebrate. No problem. You should. Your NASCAR driver crosses the finish line, and the big race coming up, Daytona, and you hoot and holler, no problem. Do you know why you're celebrating? You're witnessing glory. That's what you're doing. Every time one of them things happens, you see glory. So you celebrate. I'm just saying and making the point, I'm not judging you, I'm not condemning you. You have complete freedom in all of that. We should celebrate glory. Amen. Right? But I assure you, in no way, shape, or form does it compare to God's amazing glory that is being explained in Ephesians and throughout the Bible of this God's sovereign initiative to bring a person into faith through Christ by grace, resulting in this special covenant relationship to adoption into the family, just to turn around and give him glory to bless him. That's my point. This is a bigger deal. This is more glory than all them other things compared. That was my point. Okay? I think I needed to clarify that. I just wanted to be sure about that. So how should we respond? I say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. That's my response. Your reaction does not determine if you're a Christ follower or not. I never meant to say that, and I hope it didn't come across that way. However, it may reveal your temperature towards the natural and the supernatural. And this whole idea is a supernatural lens. Our walk with Christ is supernatural. We look beyond the natural. We live in the temporal, but we're looking towards the spiritual. We have no power without that. That's the idea. That's where we're going. I wanted to make that clear. I think we beat the horse enough. Back to my beginning quote with John Wesley. Discover yourself. Does the Spirit witness with your spirit that you are a child? If not, awake. Awake up during this. Allow the God Spirit to speak to your heart. Discover yourself. Does his Spirit witness with your spirit that you are a child? And why should we act this way? Well, it's simply this. This is not a game. This is not a game. This is for real. This is not to be taken lightly. The scripture language is a battle cry. It is a war language. This is serious. This is supernatural. I'm not here to tickle ears. I will never be here to tickle ears. I am here to prepare you for eternity. Amen. That's why I'm here. And not only that, that you take that wonderful news that we keep sharing about God's amazing grace, and you take that out to where you are, and you continue to share that news to prepare them for eternity, the most important decision they'll ever make. That's why we're here. That's why we come and gather on a Sunday morning, for all of this to take place. That should be our drive, should be our motive. We're going to talk about that more next week as we get into these gifts, these blessings. The ultimate purpose of God's redemption plan is that his glorious grace receives ultimate praise, which turns back to bless God. God's grace is this free favor given to undeserving sinners. That's every one of us. We are all done undeserving. But he put this place in motion, this plan in motion, that we would come and be drawn to him and then return, give all the glory back to him in everything that we do. Us who believe are given grace and mercy simply because God is gracious and loving. He can do all of this without us, friends. He does not need us. He chose this. He doesn't need us. He is glory whether we give it to him or not, but he is blessed when we give him the glory. This is amazing, friends. I'm just, the more I look into this, the more I'm just thrilled by it. He is worthy of it all, amen? He's worthy of it all. That's my plea today. Jess and Jane, I want to call you up for our closing song. This is kind of rarity because Jim is preparing for a message, a series. He actually asked me to preach back to back, so you get me again next week. So looking forward to that. We're going to pick right back up in Ephesians. We're going to be talking about every spiritual blessing that we receive through the shed blood of Jesus. I'm looking forward to that. I get a little excited and a little passionate about this. I think we all should. So read ahead. Read through Ephesians. It'll make more sense, especially going into next week. Bring a friend. I think it's going to be an exciting year going through the book of Ephesians. And I know what Jim is preparing for, and I'm looking forward to that too. The book of Ephesians is all about God's grace and this amazing gift he poured out onto each and every one of us, to us who would believe. Is available to each and every one of us. It is available to all. I believe that. I don't think there's anybody outside the reach of God's grace, and that's why we are to go out and spread this wonderful gospel message. Let's prepare our hearts and go to a word of prayer to close. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be able to come and gather here this morning, Lord, to open up your word and have it speak to our hearts and allow your spirit just to stir us up, to shape us, to guide us, and to prepare us to send us out. Lord, we all have our gifts and our callings to go out and use in this world that you've put us in. None of us are here by accident. None of us are worshiping here this morning by accident. We are all called here today for a purpose and for a reason. So Lord, send us out to where you'd have us. Put people in our paths that we can share this wonderful news. It's amazing, Lord, to see what you've done, what you've opened up for all of us to have access to, this amazing gift of your grace. Lord God, we are blessed by that, and we can turn around, give you glory, and you receive the blessing back. What a wonderful thing. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing here. Continue to move here and in our community and around. Lord, all to your wonderful glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.